When the talk turns to global warming and how to address it, the resistance to change is often based on economic concerns, as in, why undertake moves that could hurt our economy when the science is unsettled? The scientific jury is lined up on the evidence of global warming already underway, and the economic players are making their own moves as well. A number of places across the country find the people who run businesses signing climate change declarations, like the Oregon Business Climate Declaration, now signed by reps from 400-plus companies. We have a couple of guests scheduled for this segment. One of them is here already. Mike Stadnitsky is the CEO at Flojo, LLC. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a bit about your company, first of all.
So we're a small company here in Ashland, Oregon. We make software for the analysis of flow cytometry data, which is a technology that can analyze several thousand cells per second and take a look if there are cancer cells or infectious disease responses in those blood cells. We're also used by environmental scientists for taking a look at aquatic samples. So we're used by several hundred thousand people worldwide for analyzing the health of both humans and the environment.
Okay, how big a company then? I mean, how many people do you employ?
So we've got 23 full-time employees, the majority of whom are here in Ashland, and then a couple of scientists spread through U.S. and Europe for support and training.
I guess for a company that employs scientists, it was sort of a no-brainer to go ahead and sign it as something like a climate declaration.
It is. It's, you know, the scientific evidence is unequivocal behind climate change, and it's for that reason, it's partly for that reason that we signed on. We look at data all the time, and it doesn't take very long to look at the data behind climate change and realize that you have to do something about it, both in terms of advocacy, but also in terms of taking a hard look at your own company.
So tell us about the Oregon Business Climate Declaration itself and how it got started.
Right. So this is an initiative of Ceres and then BICEP, which is this business initiative behind climate and energy change policy. And I think it's attempting to change the conversation in terms of lending business support for a couple of different goals: support of energy and efficiency, investing in clean fuels, advancing renewable energy, and then also reducing greenhouse gas emissions, really recognizing that that's a business opportunity for Oregon, recognizing that if we put investment into that, that we can create anywhere between 1 and 1.3 million jobs in our region just by investing in that. So this can become a key differentiator. So if we have businesses signing on, recognizing that, you know, yes, we can take care of the risk and we can take care of the possible, you know, we can realize this on our own P&Ls in terms of actually, seeing energy efficiency and spending less money, but also realizing that there's also an economic opportunity there, particularly for Oregon. We've had a long history of green building and energy efficiency and research and also development there. But how do we take that further? How do we reinvest into both the people and the infrastructure to make sure that we can provide technology and continue to make the region and also the nation competitive moving forward in addressing the economic opportunity that's created by this?
This is quite the opposite viewpoint then from the people who would look at action on climate change as being a potentially recessionary kind of move. I mean, you're looking at this as potentially a real economic boost.
You know, it's an investment, right? And so, you know, we have to look at it in terms of both risk and reward. And so the risk is obviously enormous, right, in terms of the amount of, you know, the risk to forestry, the risk to our climate, you know, the risk to not being able to bring talented folks into the region and the risk to the environment, which we all enjoy around here. But, you know, the opportunity is actually larger. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, in business, you have to tighten your belt first before you see the investment. And I think we're at that pivot point right now. And I think that's why you see businesses changing the conversation right now by saying, now it's time to act.
And you mentioned that Oregon is uniquely positioned for this. Why Oregon other than other states?
Right. So, you know, we're a large part of, the fifth largest economy in the world, you know, representing, a part of a $2.7 trillion economy when you combine us with British Columbia and the larger West Coast region. And Oregon's uniquely positioned in terms of, one, frankly, the palpableness of the environmental change that we can see. It's not an abstract concept to us when we think about climate change. So that changes something about the conversation. It makes you feel it in your gut. The second thing is actually in terms of the talent that in both native and developing talent that we have in Oregon to address this need. And the third part is really the economic opportunity that's there for Oregon. How can we make this become a key differentiator for Oregon?
We are talking about climate change through the lens of businesses in the state of Oregon and talking about specifically the Oregon Business Climate Declaration. You've been listening to Mike Stadnitsky from Flojo, LLC. We're joined now also by David Gremmels, who is the president and cheesemaker at Rogue Creamery. David, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And thanks for showing. I know we had a little difficulty getting you here on time, but you probably heard a good bit of the conversation thus far. What appealed to you as a business owner as well about getting into the Oregon Business Climate Declaration?
Certainly, we see it as a necessary step for preserving our future. And we're committed to sustainability as a company. Sustainability is a key element driven by the people of our company devoted to sustainability. And curving that, we see that being a leader in our industry, that we can increase awareness by making steps to move forward with the preservation of resources. And so we have a strong commitment to solar, and we're looking at being a zero-impact company by 2021.
How far along are you on that pathway now?
We're about 50% along in that path. Mm-hmm. And the team is very dedicated to moving steps forward in achieving that goal.
So Rogue Creamery, you're about cheese, certainly. How many people do you employ, and how much do you put out in a year?
We employ about, 43 full-time team members between our cheese shop in Central Point and our cheese make, as well as our cut and wrap department, and then our dairy up in Grants Pass and our farm stand in Grants Pass.
All right, so 43. So between the two of you, you're employing something like 66 people full-time in the Rogue Valley, not an insignificant amount. And I noticed that larger companies have signed this as well. Mike, I know you talked about Ceres and Bicep a little bit ago. What are those, and what was the initial genesis of this?
Right. So Ceres is they're attempting to bring together businesses to again, change that conversation around climate change. And so, you know, this Business for Innovation, Climate and Energy Policy really turning the table here. So the genesis here, at least on our side, in taking a look at it, was folks in the region reaching out to us, honestly saying, we've taken the step, you know, like David and others, to sign this Business Climate Declaration. You know, can you please take a look at this as a follow-on to for our region, the Pacific Northwest Declaration, which was signed by the governors of British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and California. So to us, this was the follow-on to the regional agreement that followed an MOU there, and also, you know, us taking a look at other businesses that were in the region who had already signed on. So our genesis there was end of last fall. This came to our attention, and then you know, we took a look at this as a way of supporting what both our core purpose of serving the environment and people, and also getting involved with support of Bicep's mission and changing the conversation through businesses.
And so more than 400 businesses altogether over the course of the last year or so since it first came to be?
That's correct. That's correct. So that's 400 businesses within Oregon that have signed on, including, you know, the ones, if you go onto the series website, you'll see all the ones that are above $100 million in revenue, but also a number of smaller businesses like ours that are signing on to try and get a groundswell really of support. And, you know, this is smacked up not just at the level of the company, but it's also the individuals who can help, again, help us steer this conversation in a bit of a different way.
So, David Gremmels, where do things go from here? I mean, you have 400 companies signed on now. What's the direction ahead? What are the moves that need to be made from this point?
Well, certainly, it's recruitment. It's sharing a template for what we're doing as companies. And it might be as small as what we're doing as a company to offset what we believe we can do and have control of. Certainly, electrical production is a number one contributor to global warming, as well as transportation and industry. And certainly where it hits me is agriculture. So you look at that order and think, okay, what can I do? What impact can I make as an individual leader, owner of a company, and increasing that awareness amongst the team? And we've elected to adopt a commute program. So for team members that are commuting and able to ride a bike to work within a reasonable distance, we'll contribute a bicycle if that team member will commit to pledging to riding 45 days a year. And interestingly enough, other businesses have adopted that same program. A Rogue Federal Credit Union has adopted a similar program, and they've far exceeded the number of team members who are commuting by bicycle to work. We also provide incentives for team members to carpool, to drive a vehicle that gets 50 miles per gallon or greater, and to take public transportation. And certainly our commitment to photovoltaic is very important. And we have a choice, you know, a choice of continuing to make contributions to conventional energy or invest in future energy. And so we've made a decision to invest in the future into clean energy and committing to photovoltaics, even at our dairy. So our dairy is offset by solar. So it's those choices that we make. In agriculture, we have a choice. We have a choice to be organic. We have a choice to be biodynamic, to not use herbicides and pesticides, to look at different ways of managing the soil. A contributor is livestock to global warming. However, if we look at managing the soil differently and intensively grazing livestock on soil, we're building topsoil. So we're sequestering carbon by building that type topsoil and intensively grazing. So we can make an impact individually in the industries that we are leading to help move forward in this consciousness of curbing global warming.
David Gremmels is the president and cheesemaker at Rogue Creamery. Mike Stadnitsky is the CEO at Flojo LLC. We are talking about the Oregon Business Climate Declaration. You can join the discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You'd mentioned being biodynamic in agriculture. Can you explain that a little further?
Well, Rogue Creamery is moving towards organic, but we certainly are very interested in biodynamic. And we look at Cowhorn Vineyard as a leader in our region as a biodynamic company. And so it really piques our interest as we have a cheese that has won many accolades that we make starting on the autumnal equinox. And that cheese is also moving towards organic certification in 2017. So there's a number of steps to align that cheese and becoming organic, the first of which was aligning with Cowhorn Vineyard and picking leaves from that vineyard this year for our 2016 release of Rogue River Blue.
Okay, so making use of what's available and trying to not create new waste, that sort of thing.
Certainly, and partnering with the vineyard to selectively harvest leaves on the eastern and northern side of the vines, leaves that would need to be stripped anyways to allow light to the fruit, and so we're helping the vineyard, and then we're using those leaves to wrap and package the Rogue River Blue for distribution around the United States and into premier cheese shops around the world.
So, Mike Stadnitsky, from the sounds of it, you can pretty much decide as you sign on to the Oregon Business Climate Declaration about the things that your own company will do, has done, etc. Are there any obligations, lists of things you agree to do, costs incurred for a business signing on to the Oregon Business Climate Declaration?
No, but you know, it comes with the responsibility of taking a hard look at yourself, and I think that's probably the first, you know, what is it, the first step to recognizing that you have to addressing the problem is recognizing that you have one. And so for us, you know, as a software company, it's a little bit harder to see what your impact is. It's abstracted from you. And so what we did is we took a hard look at our carbon footprint. And so it comes in insidious ways, like travel, particularly airline travel for us moving around, but also in terms of our power output. And then a third one, which is very interesting on the other side of thinking about farms, is the amount of energy and cooling that goes into large servers. You know, when we're talking about the cloud. And so for us, you know, it comes across taking a look at all of those different things first, taking a hard look at that. I'm actually happy to announce that this month is actually the start. We've just initiated a program. We're going to be completely carbon offset as of this month and every month moving forward. And that's after taking that hard look at everything that we do. And so for us, you know, it was that. It's also taking a look at procurement. Where are there efficiencies to be realized that there's also an environmental benefit out of in terms of procurement and in terms of also going paperless? So for us, there's been a large push into that. And, you know, we're almost entirely paperless, certainly on our engineering and sales side. It's all done electronically. We've got a local CSA to support sustainable agriculture in the region. We've also got a recycling program. So it's looking at all of these small ways to save and to offset and setting that example. And then, you know, after we've taken this hard look at ourselves, then we can have that as a model, which we can take to other businesses and say, look, we did it. And we're just this small software company here in the Rogue Valley. What can you do?
And how old are your companies? How old is Flojo?
So we've had a company since 1997. It was a Stanford spinout, and it's been in Ashland since 2003.
And how old is Rogue Creamery?
Rogue Creamery was founded in 1933,
Okay. And
then Kerry Bryant and myself purchased it in 2002.
All right. So for the purposes of the current owners, these are fairly new companies. Given that, I mean, it sounds like you've already gotten – I mean, you come into these businesses with some ideas about how to be a little more – friendly to the planet, keep a smaller carbon footprint and all. For that reason, and does you have to diversify in the way you're talking about, Mike, where there's no big chunk of carbon offset you got?
Yeah, it's going to come from all the little things that you – it's doing environmental due diligence, right? The same way you look at a business before you purchase it. You have to take a look at every activity that you're doing, from procurement to your marketing materials, everything. Every single piece of what you do. And you can realize – honestly, you can realize cost savings and environmental savings out of both if you're smart about it and if you're intentional about the way that you're going to go about your business. And so the other part for us is customers expect that now. That's a key part of their purchasing decision. So if you can differentiate yourself and say, this is something that matters to us, you know, customers more and more are making purchasing decisions the same way that we are. Saying I'm going to go with the provider that has that carbon offset because they share my same values. And there's a lot of credibility in being, frankly, in Oregon and in the Pacific Northwest and having that message for your customers, and because that's what they expect. And when they get that message back, it's a really strong connection that you're making.
We're going to hold the Writer's Almanac for about another 10 minutes here on the Jefferson Exchange as we continue to talk about the Oregon Business Climate Declaration with Mike Stadnisky from Flojo and David Gremmels from Rogue Creamery. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from John and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David and Mike.
Hi. I applaud what you guys are doing. And it seems like an impossible task, but if you make a step, it helps. But I had two questions. One, Jeffrey mentioned in his intro that people are going, why are we doing this when the science is unsettled? And I was trying to decide, was that a quote from somebody? Because I don't think the science is unsettled, but it's a message that they've gotten out there. But my real question, my big one, is manure, methane, dairy. Are you doing anything special? That's a tough one. Cows make a lot of methane.
Right. As far as the quote, that was a made-up quote, but consider it a synthesis of many that I've heard from political figures. So that's where that came from. And David did make some mention of trying to address the greenhouse gas emissions
Yes.
that come from dairies.
Yeah. John, I think that question's directed to me. And so a way to offset that is to practice intensive grazing. And by doing so, you're composting directly onto the pastures and the soils and building topsoil. So in such, you're offsetting carbon by sequestering it in building that topsoil. So it's practicing agriculture in time-honored ways organically and to get the cows out on pasture, to get the livestock, the goats, out, to get the sheep out. And so it's breaking up the livestock yards and looking at agriculture differently.
Have each of you made some choices that in the short run impact your profit, but in the long run will increase your sustainability? I mean, have these all been fairly easy decisions to make that you've made so far, or have some of them been kind of hard when it comes to just looking at the dollars and cents near and long term?
Some of them can be hard. Some of them can be strategically hard in terms of who you align yourself with and what kind of accountability you require, particularly of a supplier. As I mentioned earlier, on the side of, you know, if you can imagine very large buildings that are packed full of computers, requires an enormous amount of energy to cool those down. And so, you know, we take an economic bite and also a strategic bite when we don't align ourselves with a partner who isn't going to be very transparent about the way that they're spending on energy and if they're making those energy efficient. And so, you have that short-term hit, but, you know, who are you serving and who's going to, what's the risk behind what that supplier is doing for you.
So it's not just what you do and how you do it, but who you do it with as well.
Absolutely. It's, you know, very similar to our business development activities in terms of who we partner with and making sure that those are aligned and are going to, support the business's goals. It's also who we partner with on the supplier side. Do those also meet our core purpose and where we're trying to take the business? And in this case, you know, if they're not going where we're going, our ship's pointed in one direction. And if they're, you know, if they're kind of going another way, it's just not going to work.
And similarly, we're a mission-driven business, and it's making those choices. Of course, we can make the decisions on return on investment, but it's also the return on environment. What impact we're making in making these capital decisions in moving forward, and what the investment is, and what the return on that investment is as we invest in photovoltaic, in composting systems, and move forward in our recycling program. So those are very conscious decisions that we make every day as a team, similarly as Mike's company and every department of our company, understanding who we're working with, what our vendors' missions are, and what their drive is sustainable in their sustainable mission, and certainly being third-party audited by Food Alliance and B-Lab is very important as we move forward.
There are other people looking at what you do and reporting on what you do and keeping tabs on it. More to talk about. We'll take a few more minutes on the other side of a break talking to David Gremmels and Mike Stadnitsky about the Oregon Business Climate Declaration. You can join us, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the program with David and Mike and you in a minute 15. Thirty-six on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. You will hear Garrison Keillor in about 5 or 10 minutes. We're going to finish up talking first about the Oregon Business Climate Declaration, which has more than 400 business signers across the state. David Gremmels is the president and cheesemaker at Rogue Creamery. Mike Stadnitsky is the CEO at Flojo LLC, which is a life science research company. It's fairly detailed stuff. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. 400 companies sounds like a good number, but then when you consider there are probably thousands upon thousands in the state of Oregon, it's a small percentage thus far. So should people be impressed by this number, and where would you guys be impressed by the number reaching? And I guess everybody's looking at David.
Yeah, no, it's an impressive start, and I believe there are more to come on board, and quickly. There's a number of companies in Oregon that certainly are recognized for their green practices, Oregon's 100 best, and a number of companies apply to that. And so I see a great opportunity to recruit more, and certainly Oregon is becoming a leader in registering its companies for a social benefit. And so Oregon just has a core value to its environment and preserving its future. We have a state board led by our Governor Brown that's committed to sustainability and preserving Oregon's resources as well. So there's this surge of focus, and it's very top of mind. So I see many, many businesses joining and becoming a part of this movement.
There are certainly some big names on there. You got the Nike on the list. You've got Intel on the list. Umpqua Bank, I noticed. Quite a few big names on there. As I looked through, though, at the list of 400, after not seeing some names I would have expected to see there, began to search out terms like timber and wood and logging, and don't see anybody from the timber industry on there.
Which is surprising, because here we are. We've got a huge threat to that industry, and you know we would expect, honestly, them to sign on. I mean, we're taking a look at of metrics where that industry is, which is a multi-million-dollar industry, particularly between Washington, Idaho, and Oregon. We're looking at large double-digit percentages decrease in that ability to forest those areas because the amount of actual burn area is projected to increase by anywhere between 20 and 50% over the next couple of years. So, their industry is in threat. So, it's in our world, you have to change because otherwise you're going to get disrupted. And in this case, the disruption is actually coming from the environment. And so, they have to pivot and they have to understand that this is going to become part of the new calculus for operating their businesses in the Northwest.
And so there are national and state declarations, is that right?
That's correct. And so, in fact, in this case, there's the national declaration. We've got a regional declaration, and then this one follows on as one for Oregon.
All right. So this is a case for where anybody on the list can say, hey, look, we've done some things already to make some changes to help stop global warming. What are you asking for, though, in return, or what are you asking for, pushing for in terms of legislation and moves from governments?
Right. So in the regional declaration, Oregon took a stand actually in one of the paragraphs saying that we will price carbon, that was a very definitive statement and frankly a differentiator that Oregon made, and we're still waiting to get that followed up on from the legislature, and so we don't have that, it's. I think there's a push and pull now from businesses and even in the legislature. How do we make this work? And why is this important? So for us, it's about, yes, the 400 businesses and then hopefully the next 400 and after them saying, it's time to think about this a little bit differently in terms of the return on investment that we can get in terms of the environmental impact, but also in terms of investing in the region and its talent to actually take the opportunity. You can either, sit back and watch it happen, or we can actually, invest in that and grow some homegrown talent to address these energy problems, because we're not going to be the only region that has this. So I'd much rather us become an exporter of talent, but also technology that addresses this, rather than frankly sitting on our hands.
David Gremmels, as you talk to people in other businesses, suppliers, vendors, that sort of thing, I mean, do you get some reluctance from some people? Do you end up talking about this with them, giving any sort of a sales pitch?
It's an open dialogue, and it's interesting. We learn a lot from that dialogue. We learn about what other businesses are doing in their recycling and their conservation and in the conserving electrical and their commitment to the future. So it's there's no pushback. There's a great sharing of ideas, and certainly an exchange of that ideas or of those ideas help move the businesses forward and move that relationship forward, and also opportunity to share templates and resources and a network that we may not have known. And so I've really have seen great opportunity in that dialogue. And it's part of our vendor questionnaire with other businesses that we're doing business with.
All right. We'll probably hear a lot more down the road about the Oregon Business Climate Declaration. Two signatories in the studio with me, David Gremmels, the president and cheesemaker at Rogue Creamery, and Mike Stadnisky, the CEO at Flojo. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
All right. Let's visit with Garrison Keillor.